Hello and welcome to Gay Men Going Deeper, a podcast where we talk about personal development, mental health, and sexuality. Your hosts today are Matt Lancetel, Callan Brecken, and myself, Michael Diario. Collectively, we have over 40 years of experience in the personal development world, and if this is your first time listening to us, we want to welcome you to the show. We each have our own coaching practice, and in this podcast, we're giving away all of our best stuff. And today we're talking about the relationship you have with your body. We'll be answering questions. How would you describe your relationship with your body? How has that relationship changed over the years? And how can you improve your relationship with your body? So we will be continuing this discussion on the last Thursday of every month in the Gay Men's Brotherhood Zoom hangout meetings. This is where we give you guys a chance to share your own thoughts on the topics that we discuss here in the podcast. So if you're interested in joining us, please go to the Gay Men's Brotherhood Facebook group and check out the events tab to RSVP. We've got two time options available for you. Reminder that this podcast and YouTube channel are listener and viewer supported. So if you enjoy what we're creating here and you love the topics we're talking about, you can support us by heading over to our Patreon page and contributing to the show. You can also subscribe to get early access episodes on Apple Podcasts. So all of your support helps us to continue making amazing content for you and supporting our community. So we thank you very much in advance for that. Also, please check out our attachment style quiz in the show notes to find out what your attachment style is, and then we'll send you a free report all about that attachment style. And if you are looking to accelerate your personal development journey, check out our coaching collection. This is a collection of our two courses, Healing Your Shame and Building Better Relationships, plus over 45 premium personal development coaching videos created by us on topics relating to body positivity, relationships, self-confidence, and community. So head over to gaymengoingdeeper.com for more information on that. And before we jump into today's topic, I want to read a review from one of our YouTube viewers that he left us on the episode we did called Reinventing Yourself. So this is from John Senra. And John says, "I absolutely love this episode. As a 67-year-old, I have experienced most of the situation you guys discussed. I'm going to save it and watch it again and again and again. I'm also going to send it to a few friends who can benefit. I'm still trying to find myself, and some of your suggestions will definitely help. Thank you." So yes, John, we want to say thank you. And everyone out there, please do share the podcast episodes you hear. Any ones that resonate with you, share them with your friends, because we are trying to build a new kind of gay community here with this podcast in our community. So we need your help with that. So please, you can do that by sharing the episodes, giving us some reviews, and leaving comments. We'll be sure to read them out on our next episodes. Okay, guys, let's jump into today's podcast. So today is relationship with your body. So I'm going to start by describing a little bit about what that means, and then we'll jump into the first question. So everyone who's listening to this right now, myself, Cal, and Matt, everyone who's listening, you have a unique body. That's pretty easy to understand. You also have a unique relationship with your body that's going to be different for each person. So what does that mean? When I say relationship with your body, what am I talking about exactly? Yes, you are your body. You look down and say, yes, this is me, but you also have a relationship with it. So what I mean by that is it's basically your thoughts about your body, about your appearance in general. It's the way you feel about your body, keeping in mind that these things change moment by moment, day to day. It's how you talk about your body when you look at yourself in the mirror. It's how you treat your body, the things you do for it or against it, perhaps. How you make decisions that are about your body. Like, how are you making those decisions? Are they coming from a place of love? Are they coming from shame? Are they coming from hate even? So how are you making those decisions? And then how do you communicate with it? Remembering that communication is a two-way street. So you can talk to your body, but also you can listen to it, right? So all of this goes together to form a relationship. Just like we have a relationship with people in our lives, we have a relationship with our body, and it can change. And I think the purpose here today is to help us define what that is and then how you can improve it. So some questions you might want to ask yourself when you're asking yourself the question, what is my relationship with my body? Is it a mostly positive or mostly negative relationship? typically, what's your inner dialogue sound like about your body when it comes to those kinds of thoughts? Do you talk down to it? Do you even listen to it at all? For some people, maybe the opposite. Maybe they're obsessed with it and they're so hyper-focused on it that they put so much pressure on their body, right? Some people may ignore it completely and abandon it. Do you love your body conditionally or do you love it unconditionally? And I'm going to reference back to our episode on unconditional love a few weeks ago to learn more about unconditional love. So the reason why we want to have this episode today, obviously, this month, we're talking about body positivity in the gay men's brotherhood. And in gay culture, we all know that there is a big emphasis that men put on our bodies. I am in Puerto Vallarta right now, Mexico, for anyone who's been there. This is definitely the right time and place for me to be reflecting on this topic. I just spent the weekend surrounded by half-naked gays showing body, adi, adi, all weekend long. Pool parties, beach bodies, selfies, all the insecurities that come with it and so on. And I want to say this isn't a bad thing. I'm saying this as if it's bad, but it's not. I love it, right? I'm going to state my bias right off the top and that I love showing body as much as the next guy. But I can say this for sure. I have done it from a place of insecurity and desperation. And I've done it from a place of simply having fun and wanting to do it because I like it. And while the end result might look the same on the outside looking in, oh, here's this half-naked body, I can tell you that it feels very, very different from the inside. And we can talk more about that later. I'll talk about my transformation later. So finally, some signs that you may need to work on developing your relationship with your body. So if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, yeah, my relationship with my body is fine. Here's some signs that you might need to work on that. If it's more focused on the aesthetic than the function, so how it looks versus how it feels or what it's doing for you, that might be a sign you need to balance that out a bit. For a lot of people, this was my story, treating it as an object instead of seeing it as a beautiful gift that you've been given is a sign that maybe you need to, again, balance out that relationship with your body. Another one that applied to me is relying on your body as your sole source of self-confidence. If all of your worthiness comes from how you look, that might be a sign you need to work on your relationship with your body. And then finally, I saw a lot of this weekend, using your appearance or your body to validate your worthiness as a gay man, how much you belong in here, or on the other side of it, using it to judge others' worthiness, equally no bueno. So if that's the case, then again, this is a great episode for you to listen to. So what I want the viewer and listener to get from today is basically I want to make a case, well, all three of us are going to make a case for committing to having a more loving and respectful relationship with your body. Not only will you feel better, obviously, yeah, like you'll feel better in the body you already have, but if you do want to change your body, you can, it's your body, your choice, but then you can do it from a place of love, not from a place of judgment and shame. So that's what we're going to be talking about here today. And so with that, I want to jump into our first question, which is how would you describe your relationship with your body? And to start us off today, I'm going to go with Matt.
Yeah, I don't even know if I need to talk. You pretty much just summed it all up. We can just end the episode now.
Okay, that's it. Bye, guys. Thanks.
Back to chilling in Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, I got to go. Exactly.
This is a very tender topic. It always is, talking about body, because this was my main vehicle that I used for worthiness, for attractiveness, for self-value. And I've done a lot of deep work over the last 4 years probably. But every time we talk about it, there's always lingering stuff in there. And I took the weekend to think about your questions. And again, what did I meet, right? I met a shit ton of duality. You know, I have two relationships with my body. I have the body image relationship with my body, which is governed by my mind. So it's my mind's relationship with my body. And then I have the felt sense, I call it, relationship with my body, which is me feeling into who I am, which is my body's relationship with itself. And I'll start first off by talking a bit about body image, because this is the one that I was over-identifying with, and I didn't have an identity with my felt sense. At least it wasn't very strong. And the body image was governed a lot by the mirror, right? So needing the mirror, needing photos or needing validation from people. So that could be people telling me I'm attractive or people liking my photos, those sorts of things. That was the very essence of who I was defined by that, right? So the reason why this topic is so emotional for me is because I'm still moving in the direction of trying to find a deeper sense of worthiness in my body and who I am on a soul level, versus just an identity that originates from my mental concept or my self-concept of who I am. My body image is very much the relationship I have that comes from my mind. It was and still can be sometimes very critical. Before it was extremely critical. Now it's very mildly critical. And what I do now, let's say if I'm in the mirror, I look in the mirror and I don't like what I see. Before, what I would do is I would critique, or I would suck my stomach in, or I would try and change certain things, and I would try and make myself look good. So it was all about trying to morph or change something. And then now I don't do that anymore. I don't pick my body apart. But what I do sometimes is if I'm having a bad day where I just feel not attractive, I will ignore my body. I either won't look in the mirror, or I'll turn away when I see, you know what I mean? So it's like, I'm still not fully meeting myself with complete compassion yet. And I think that's where some of the emotions come up for me when I think about that, because it was so habitual and it was so ingrained in me to be a big bully to my body. And I'm learning how to be more compassionate with my body. So I would say the body image stuff, the mental stuff, it's more ego driven. It comes from ego. It comes from us needing to be seen a certain way in order to feel valued or valuable. And so what I've been actually doing over the course of the last 4 years, as I've been deconditioning what I bought into around what is attractive. So I've been challenging beauty standards. I've been finding beauty in less traditional or conventional means of what people define as attractive, right? So energetic attraction is a huge part of a part of this. And I think that's part of how, you know, I stopped identifying so much with my body, and I started giving people my body grace. And then I started giving people grace in not having to be perfect. And I met this more demisexual part of me, right? Which is governed more by emotional and energetic attraction. So, and that's very deep work. Like, there's so much in that realm of conditioning around beauty. It's, you know, around race, around body image, around age. All of these things play into, you know, how I see my body and comparing it to other people. So that's the one side of it. So that's my one relationship. I would say the other one, being the felt sense, is what I've, this is the work. This is the product of my spiritual work and my psychological work. This is what I've met, is my felt sense, my feeling into who I am, the energy of who I am. I would say this is more of a soul-based connection to myself. There is no conditioning in that realm, because the body doesn't have an ego. The body doesn't have a mechanism built into it that judges itself, right? Like the ego does. So when you are in a state of complete presence and you're with your body, you're with all the beautiful things about your body, because your body can't, or I'll say if you have injuries or chronic pain, you'll be with that too. So it's not always going to be beautiful to be present with your body. But you're not going to be critical until the mind then comes in and starts to chime in and create perception of how the body's experiencing itself, right? So they are connected. It's not like two completely separate entities. They work together. You know, and for me to come down into my felt sense, I have to actually use my mind. I use my mind to make the choice of, I want to connect deeper with my body. So I bring my mind's eye, my inner awareness, down into my body, and I start connecting with my body. So again, like everything, there's a duality, but they work in harmony together when you allow them to. My mouth is getting dry. The felt sense aspect, I would say it's been really cool. It's been really cool for me to connect with this part of who I am. I've realized, coming down into my body, developing a stronger relationship with my body, that I'm quite sensitive in all domains, like mentally, emotionally, physically, especially. I'm very keenly aware of my body. And I've always been that way as far as physical sensation and things like that. So I know what my body needs and I know what my body doesn't. Like almost to the point where like I could be out at a restaurant and I could eat something and immediately I'll know if it's not good for my body. My body will just communicate to me. So my tongue will start to burn or something. And I just have a very keen awareness of my body. So I know what I need to stay away from and I know what I need to move towards. So I have a very strong and integrated self-care practice because of that, because I know exactly what my body likes and doesn't like. But I think previously I was ignoring that because I know, like, for example, my body doesn't like alcohol. It absolutely hates it. And I feel like complete crap even when I'm drinking it. And I used to bypass that because I wanted to be like everybody else. I wanted to go out to the parties and drink and not feel like I was abnormal, right? So I would disrespect my body. And then that led to a whole bunch of other issues. So my body is where my intuition lies. So connecting to my body and my felt sense and doing this deep spiritual work has made me probably 10 times better of a practitioner in the work that I do, because I get all my intuitive hits through my body and I'm an intuitive coach, right? So it's made me very effective at what I do because I can feel into what is going on through my body. And then I would say in the arena of sex, and I think this is a really important one for me because I'm really coming into my own sexually and learning what I am as an integrated being. So my mind and my body working together as a sexual being, where I think before my sexual self was very governed by my mind, right? Visuals, pornography, these things were required in order for me to achieve arousal. And I would always have to, like either during sex or masturbation, I would always have to visualize. And at one point it would be like, I would have to visualize about other men when I was with my partners. And that would be how I would get off. And that just shows me that I wasn't feeling into embodied pleasure. I was cultivating pleasure from the mental images that I was creating in my mind. And there's nothing wrong with either, but I wanted to be integrated and I wanted to be able to feel the sensations in my body of arousal and not just have to be governed by my mind. So I do see the felt sense aspect of who I am as more sensual and sexual, and I feel my libido and my arousals in my body. And I can play with them with my mind, but they come from my body. They originate in my body. And then my mind can take them in the direction that they want to go. Yeah, I think that pretty much covers everything I wanted to share. There's a lot in this topic. It's like, it's mind blowing, you know, when you talk about integration of mind and body. And that's what I see embodiment as, actually. And when I talk about that word, and people sometimes might be confused by what that means, embodiment is the integration of the mind and body working together. And oftentimes we think the mind is separate than the body, but the mind is part of the body. We are a whole container and the mind is part of that thing. So when we're embodied, our mind and body, our ego and our soul are now working in harmony, as opposed to having this conflict, right, with each other. So yeah, it's cool stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot there, and I think this is a great topic for a lot of people for this exact reason, right? Like, I think as gay men, we've all kind of had that pressure, I think, to look a certain way and do things a certain way. So I think it really helps to have this conversation, and I hope that it does help the viewers and listeners out there as well.
Yeah, me too.
Callan, what about you? How would you describe your relationship with your body?
So this is kind of like a hot trigger button topic for me, just because if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that I've struggled with like chronic body illness issues. And so because of that, it's been happening, like it's been going on since 2014. And so my relationship with my body over the years has evolved very differently. And I can say that, especially since probably like 2019, it's been more like, for me, my body can be like a prison that I want to escape. And so there's been a lot of forced like disassociation from my body, because I'll be in like chronic pain constantly all the time. So how do I escape that? And the way I escape that is in my mind. And so trying to build that connection back with my body. Like I was always very, sexual, very fluid. I didn't always love my body because I grew up very heavy, but then once I lost a lot of that weight and I started going out and meeting people, I started just enjoying my body for what it was. Of course, I always looked at the guys with the abs and this, that, and the other, and I was like, oh, that'd be nice. But then once I discovered kind of the bear community, I was like, oh no, this is what I want. And that's what I'm attracted to. And it's funny. I actually think of that, like, there's always those memes that it's like, you know, gays want a guy with a body like this. And he's like thicker and a little bit juicier and whatever, but then they want to look like this. And there's like the ripped abs. And I'm like, well, what does that say about us in our community? And so for me, I have a little bit of more weight around my stomach. I'm a little bit more of a thicker person in that regard. And I'm okay with that physically. Like, I don't feel the desire, the need to go to the gym. I still enjoy my life. I still know that people find me desirable, and that's never been an issue. But the biggest part for me and my relationship with my body is just the constant chronic pain that I'm in regards to like eating food. Like, I love food, but I can't eat food. And there's certain food that I can't eat. And then this whole journey I've gone on with doctors of like, they have no idea what's wrong with me. Constantly getting tested, constantly, oh, it's not that. Constantly, oh, it's not that. Constantly, oh, it's not that. And it's been like 5 years now of like testing to the point where they're like, okay, we've gotten rid of all of these things. It's none of those things now. In saying that, I feel like we're getting closer to a cure because it's not a chronic physical internal thing that isn't fixable. It's something that's fixable. It's just like, it's an extreme version of something. So it's like, okay, well, how do we get rid of it? We've already tried all these options and they didn't work. And so for me, working with my body, a lot of the time it's forced me to be way more graceful and gentle with myself than I think the average person lets themselves get with their body. It's like, there's so many times where I've like, I wanted to go out, or I wanted to do things, or I wanted to engage, and I physically could not. Like, there's been times where, you know, just recently there was a dodgeball social on a Friday and I was like, oh, well, I can't go, just because my body's like, absolutely not. You can't leave the house today. And so that really, really fucking sucks. And I'm ready for it to be over. But that's really colored a lot of my relationship with my body. Like, there's been times where I'm like, do I even want to continue living in this body if this is going to be the experience I have for my entire life? Because I'm going to have to carry that experience through everything that I do. And that affects so many sectors of my life, like my relationship life, my sex life, my being able to be physical, going to the gym, living a healthy lifestyle. And then in the back of my head, I'm also thinking about like cancers or other things that could be getting caused in my body because of the disruptions that are going on there. And so it's been a real up and down balance of living inside of my body and accepting it for what it is, and just being able to sometimes just say, fuck it, it is what it is. And it sucks, but it forces me to sit with it and to just live with it and learn how to enjoy life and those little moments where I do get to enjoy things and just really relish in those moments instead of just they're like coming and going. It's like, because when I'm having a good day and I really get to enjoy things, that means so much more to me, because so much more often I'm not having a good day and my body is just in constant pain all the time. And it's really hard to explain it to other people, because if you've never lived with a chronic illness or a chronic pain, it's just like, you don't know what you don't know. It's like, imagine having a stomach ache, and like, those are the worst. People hate stomach aches. That's like every day for me. And so it's like, people are like, holy shit, how are you even functioning? It's like, I've learned how to function through it. And sometimes to the detriment of myself, because people just think that I'm normal because I'm not constantly sharing like what's wrong with me. And most of that has come because I don't know what's wrong with me, like, or at least I haven't for years. I had no idea what was wrong with me. So it was difficult to kind of navigate that. I have shared it a lot more with a lot more people in my life recently, just like what's going on and why I don't go out and engage as much as I'd like to go out and engage. I am introverted, but I do like going out, but the thing that I'm struggling with in my body stops me from engaging as much as I would like to. So I think that over this next year, I think we're really close to being like curing my illness so that I can get back into a regular thing. And I'm looking forward to things like going to the gym on a regular basis, because I've tried so many times to implement going to the gym for my own well-being. It's not to look a certain way. It's because I need to keep my muscles strong in order to keep my body strong, in order to keep, you know, healthy for a long time in my life. But it's so hard to get on a schedule and keep that schedule when it's like, oh no, I can't leave the house today. Like, that's physically not possible. And so it constantly is disrupting trying to build that healthy routine in my life that I'm looking forward to not having this weight over me constantly all the time from like the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed at night, that it's like, I'll be able to fill my head with so many other things and it'll open up so much more space for that, that it'll be like, yes, I can go to the gym. Yes, I can do this. Last minute invites, like, yes, I actually can go out today and be able to engage with those things a lot more. So my relationship with my body has been very difficult. But it's also taught me a lot about patience and gratitude and allowing myself to just be what I am and not judging or blaming myself for it, because I have no control over the matter. So that's kind of like a long whoop of what's been going on there. But I think my journey is very different than a lot of like the average person's journey, and that maybe there's people out there listening who also live with chronic illness. And so that they can associate with that. No, oh, it's not just me. Like, I get it. It's like, not everybody can just go to the gym, or not everybody can do these things or eat these things, because, you know, it's just not in the cards for us, and that's okay.
That's a very important message. Thank you for being so vulnerable and so honest and sharing your experience with us. I think that would resonate with a lot of people out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Michael?
You reminded me, Callan, that, you know, it's definitely something that I could easily take for granted. And thank you for kind of reminding me, like sharing that perspective, because yeah, it's definitely one of those things that I haven't had to deal with chronic pain. And, you know, when I will say this, my body isn't acting in a way that I want it to, I can get really whiny and I don't like it. So that's probably one of the areas that I can probably improve my relationship with my body is maybe, you know, exactly as you said, be more patient and treat it with a bit of grace. So, so for me, I would say today, my relationship with my body is probably more balanced. It's not perfect at all, but it's certainly a lot better than it was maybe, you know, in my 20s, early 30s. I like to think of it as a lot of relationships. So we have good days and we have bad days. Some days I'm loving on it and I'm listening to it and taking care of it. And it's a mutually, say, beneficial relationship. And other days I am not as kind. I'm a little bit more critical, and I catch myself though. I will say that, like, when it's happening, I'm like, okay, that's not really a nice thing to say about myself or about my body. Especially as I'm aging, I guess that's where probably my biggest criticisms and judgments on my body come in. And they're all relating to like, oh, I have this extra weight around my belly now, which used to not be an issue, but now it just doesn't seem to want to go away. Or, I recover from, you know, a night out a lot slower. I have aches and pains if I go to the gym. Like, my joints hurt and my back hurts and this and that. And like, I'm finding myself being a lot more judgmental of my body, but I have to remind myself I'm almost 40, right? Like, it's given me 40 good years and hopefully 40 more or plus. And so again, it goes back to having a bit more of that grace. So I think that's where my work is. I don't know if you guys ever read the book Seed of the Soul, Gary Zukav. I've talked about it before on the podcast. No. So one thing that has completely changed the way I think about it, and I love the way he described it in that book, is he referred to it as your earth suit. Your body is your earth suit, which I just love. And for whatever reason, when I read that, I'm like, oh my God, yes, that just resonates with me. So whereas before I thought of like, oh, just this thing, maybe I like ignored it or didn't pay much attention to it at all. Now I'm like, okay, this is like a gift that has been given to me by whether you want to call it God, universe, whatever it is. And so while I'm incarnated here as a human, this is what I get. This is the only one I got. I don't get to trade it in and get another one, right? Mm-hmm. So the way I like to think about it is, imagine when you came to Earth from wherever we come from, wherever you want to believe we come from, if God or the universe, whatever you want to say, gives you one iPhone and it says, this is your only iPhone for the rest of your life. That's it. You get one That's it. Imagine how you would treat that iPhone or phone, whatever it is. I have an iPhone. Imagine how you would treat that phone. You wouldn't just be willy-nilly with it, right? You would like make sure it's charged. You would like clean out all the apps. You'd make sure it runs quick. You'd take care of it. You would do everything you need to do with it. And I think our bodies are very much like, that's how I like to think about it. I'm like, this is the only one I got. So act accordingly, right? And so that for me was a big shift. But I will say it's not 100%. Sometimes I do things that are going against exactly what I'm saying right now, but that's okay, right? It's not about that perfection. It's just about that self-awareness. Matt, you had talked about awareness. And I would say, you know, when you said that, that was a big one for me. I'm very much more keenly aware of what my body needs and how it speaks to me. Like I know, like, it's like, oh, okay, I need rest. Oh, I need water. You know, even just like, I need to get out of this situation. Even that kind of intuitive hit does as well come from my body. It's like different areas of my body will respond to different things. So yeah, I think that's where I'm at now. The reality is definitely, I still have those moments of, oh, I'd love it more if I would just lose these, you know, this belly fat. I'd love it more if I didn't have these aches and pains. I'd love it more if I looked the way it did, you know, 5-10 years ago. So yeah, while it wasn't always like this, it's certainly better than it was before. And so I think we should talk about that. I think let's switch gears and talk about how that relationship has changed over the years. So we'll start with Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to say to your point, being highly sensitive means you have sensory processing sensitivity and you score high on it as well, same mm-hmm. as me. So, and that is keen body awareness is one of the main traits of, right? That's why loud sounds, bright lights, all these yes. things, because we're so aware of our senses that it just heightens everything.
I used to ignore it, right? Like I didn't know that. And I just would ignore it and be like, what's wrong with me? Or why, you know, why is everybody else okay? And I'm not. But now yeah. it's like, I see it as very much, you know, a good thing.
Yeah. I dissociated because it was so intense. And there also the emotional energy too, like, because you feel your emotions in your body. So when you're feeling your emotions and you have sensory processing sensitivity, it's something called emotional reactivity. You have way more emotional reactivity. You feel them way more intensely. So I learned from a very young age to dissociate, had some traumatic experiences in my childhood. Dissociation became a very important part of that. And I basically over-identified with my mind, and my relationship mm-hmm. with my body was governed by my mind. So part of what I've done over the years is I've had to bring myself back online. And this all started when I went to Asia. Like I was somewhat embodied before that, but because I had been doing this work for a while, but we're talking like just in the last 5 years that I've come into embodiment. And I first had to bring myself back online. And I had to meet all of this old emotional energy that I didn't allow myself to feel. And having all that unprocessed traumatic, like trauma, which is, in my opinion, unprocessed emotional or energetic debris that's trapped in your body. And I think for me, mine was trapped in my spine, my spinal column, because I had issues in my lower back. I had issues in my neck. And I had, and same as Callan, I had a ton of chronic pain because of this. And it wasn't until I started to come back online, connect with my body, start developing a relationship with my nervous system and my emotions that I started to see healing in my body. And I had the same experience as you, Callan. I was so angry at my body, and I felt constantly betrayed and let down by my body, and tons of injuries. And then, you know, compounding that was me only finding value and worthiness through my body. So I was training hardcore, like 6 days a week, and creating all these injuries in my body on top of the compounded trauma that I had. So it was just this nasty mess that I had created in my body. And I had to learn presence. That was the weapon. My secret weapon was presence. I had to become present with my body. I had to learn how to listen to my body and do this healing. And it was a lot of grieving, really, is what it was. It was a lot of fucking grieving and letting go of pains and hurts and disappointments from my childhood. And then my body started to heal. It was almost like simultaneously, like they kind of went together. You know what I mean? Like I would have a big, you know, release or some sort of cathartic thing. And then I would notice, you know, shifting and stuff with my neck, it would all start to kind of shift. It was so super strange. So so anyway, so now I would say I connect to my body through my emotions. That is a vehicle. So whenever I have an emotion come up, I, instead of trying to chew at the emotion and, you know, find control and all these things that my mind would do, I go into my body and I'm like, okay, this emotion needs to be felt. But that took me a long time because I had this default mechanism that was so habitual and almost ritualistic that it would just default into doing that. So I had to be very conscious when an emotion would come up. I had to choose to sit with this. And through that, I learned how to develop a relationship with my body just by feeling my emotions. So that was really, really big for me. I had an experience this weekend, and I've been having these kind of more frequently in the last year, where I look at myself in the mirror and I just feel this feeling of sexiness, you know. And I always say, like, you know, two of my most favorite things are inspiration and sexiness. I love feeling sexy. It's just such a really beautiful feeling. And it's a very embodied feeling for me now. So I just looked at myself in the mirror and I just felt, it didn't require my eyes to see anything. It was like, it was just this feeling. And I just had this like charge, and it went through my body of just feeling like, you're beautiful the way you are. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that needs to be changed in this moment. You're just beautiful the way you are. And that was, it was really beautiful to have that experience. And I want more of that, you know, because I still do fall into the trap of like, oh, am I good enough? Is my body good enough? And I probably would fall hard into that trap if I went to a place like PV. I'd be comparing myself. I'd be looking around at everybody else's bodies and, you know, remembering how my body used to look like that and it doesn't anymore and all these things. And so, but I do think that I'm developing a deeper sense of compassion and kindness. Like, self-kindness is such an important thing. Yeah. I think that's pretty much my story for now. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Kellen? Tell us a bit about your history and this journey of a relationship.
Oh, it's been a wild ride, I can tell you that. So when I was younger, I used to be a lot heavier when my parents were going through their divorce. We've talked about this multiple times. But I used to be a lot heavier. I was like pushing 200 pounds, probably when I was like between the ages of like 11 to like 14 ish. And I think a lot of that came from like eating feelings. And also just my dad just did not keep healthy things in the house. It was all like the, you know, early 90s, early 2000s of like, you know, fast processed food and fast processed snacks and sugars and everything before any of like the real science had come out about like how awful it all is. So I was really heavy. And then, you know, Ginger always made fun of as well. And then once I moved in with my mom, she was like mostly vegetarian based and healthy. And so just naturally, just by osmosis and being in that environment, a lot of it came off and just being in like a mentally healthier, stable place. And so when I moved into, so when I was a kid, I hated my body just because other kids made fun of me. And so I was like, oh, there's something wrong with me, not to mention the hair color and all this, that, and, you know, kids are awful. And then once I came out of like high school in those teen years and my body had shifted just by being in a healthier environment and eating healthier in my 20s, I was happy with my body. Like, it wasn't, oh, I'm amazing, but I had lost a lot of weight. I was slender. I'd grown quite tall. And so for my 20s, I had a great time. Like, my body was great. It worked well. I went to the gym. I wouldn't say like consistently to build muscle, but I went to the gym consistently enough to feel good for myself. And then that came out when I would go to the club and dance and like take off my shirt and all these other things. Like, I really just enjoyed the energy and the vibe of all of that. And in my 20s, I did a lot of yoga. I fucking love yoga. I love doing hot yoga. And I would do that all the time, especially in like my mid 20s. I did a lot of hot yoga just because it was easily accessible where I was. And I was never super flexible. I never could do the poses perfect or anything like that, even though I'd gone for years and years and years. And that helped me just kind of understand that it's like my body's different than other people's bodies, and different makeups mean other people are more flexible than not. Like, my legs are super long and my torso is shorter, and that makes it more difficult for me to like touch my toes just because they're so much further away. Where somebody who has maybe shorter legs and a longer torso, it's easier for them because just the mechanics of how the body works. And so learning things like that allowed me to not be envious or like hate on my own body. Cause I was like, it's not something I can really control. Like I can keep going and do my best, but it's not like you win if you're the most flexible. Like I was just like, for me, touching my toes was mind blowing because I'd never been able to do it before. Cause when I did grow, I grew quite fast. So everything was really tight. So for me, it was a journey of like learning how I'm progressing. And I was only ever in competition with myself in the sense of like, I'm going to do this for me so that I can see how much further I can, you know, go to touch my toes. Can I put my palms flat on the floor? Like that's the kind of world that I was living in my 20s. And I really loved that space that I was in. And then when I moved to the Middle East when I was 27, 28, and then I had all the food poisonings and I had all the infections and the things that now afflict my body, that very drastically changed the relationship that I had with my body. Flying all over the world, I had very up and down sleep patterns, very up and down eating patterns, the infections, all the like digestion issues that came with all of that. That's when things shifted with my body. And I think it's because I hadn't focused on that, because you don't know what you don't know. So I hadn't prepared myself to be like, okay, well, really pay attention to what you eat, especially in other places. Like you do, but like, no matter what you're doing, there's still always a possibility because you're in different places of the world. There's different bacteria and all that kind of stuff. And so then in 2019, when I decided to come back, that's when I was like, okay, I need to come back for my body. Like I could have kept doing the job over there for years to come, but my body was like, you are breaking down. You cannot keep doing this. And so then that shifted to me coming back and deciding like, I need to recreate or bring back into balance my relationship with my body. And back then I thought it had just been the flying. Like I was like, oh, this is, you know, because of the sleep patterns, because of this, because it's a very physically grueling environment that I was in. I thought that that's what it was. And then when it came back here and it was years and years and years of discovery of like, oh no, it's actually an infection of something. It has nothing to do with your physicality. Like I could eat all the right things, sleep a perfect amount, go to the gym, do all the things, but it wouldn't change the fact that I have something inside of me that's not supposed to be inside of me. And so going through those journeys has been a bit of a wild ride because I can still look back on my 20s and be like, oh man, like I really just had such a great time and I loved being in that body. Like I wish I could get back to there. And so now it's been a hard process of figuring out like, well, this is where I am now. I need to honor that, but still having the desire and the goal to get to somewhere back in my 20s, not in like, I know our bodies age and like shit happens, we get crackling and all that jazz as Michael talked about, but like for being able to do more things and to fix my body with the things that aren't supposed to be in there so that, you know, the good things can take over and I can start moving back into that good direction. I think that that's kind of like where I'm at now, but it's definitely been a wild ride of going through all of those different variations and versions with my body and looking back on it. And I think being heavier as a kid and then having, you know, kind of what I would say is a great body in my 20s till now has showed me like a wide spectrum of how to be. And it's always interesting that when I come across other people and I just like, I'm like attracted to them and their energy and their vibe. Sometimes when they're like, oh yeah, I used to be like way overweight. There's like some camaraderie with people like that. They're like, oh, me too. And it's like, for me, I think about it, I'm like, I really had to develop a personality when I was younger because I was like so heavy that I was like, well, if I'm a shitty person, then I'm going to have no friends. So I had to like learn how to grow and move through that so that when I was in my 20s, I didn't focus on the body part and being attracted to that because I still had that mentality of like, oh, my personality is the important thing. Like who I am inside is the important thing because being heavier showed me that. And so it was a really interesting experience that I've gone through in that regard. But What about you, Michael? How's your relationship changed over the years?
Yeah, that's a fascinating concept of the fact that your relationship to your body kind of your personality has adapted to either counterbalance or make up for that. I guess we all do that to some degree, maybe not in the exact same way. But for me, I would say I can separate it into, I'm going to say, three categories very broadly. One, up until I was in my 20s, which I basically just took it for granted, didn't think of it at all, ignored it. You know, I was very lucky that I didn't have anything really going on with my body that really required too much for me to think about it, besides, you know, the usual kind of insecurity. I was the shortest kid in my class and all that other kind of stuff. I wasn't very athletic, but nothing where I really thought too much about it. And then I came out at 19, moved to the city in my early 20s. And then I would describe my relationship with my body as fairly disrespectful and it being very much a one-way relationship. So this is when I realized, oh, I have this body and it has power. I can use it to get what I want. I could use it to feel good. I could use it to do whatever I want. And this is where I'm like, ooh, this is fun. And it was kind of this, I would say, very self-serving relationship. So meaning it served me, but I'd never really gave much back to it. I didn't really ask it what it needed. I didn't really nurture it. I used it. I just used it. It exploited it to the point of burnout, exhaustion, barely slept, didn't really need it at the time. But maybe I did. I mean, my body wasn't really yelling at me for it, but I didn't care. I was like, no, I'll deal with it later. I'll sleep tomorrow. I got to do this. You know, it's just more important that I go out. It's more important that I stay out late. It's more important that I have this extra drink, right? Kind of like Matt was talking about earlier. And so that's what it was. It was just, I focused on what I could get from it and how I could use it to get what I want, more than how I could nurture it, right? So it was not a loving and respectful relationship. It was very much, I withheld love and respect from it. And especially when it didn't look the way I thought it should, or especially if it didn't do what I wanted it to do. It's very pleasure focused. Please me, body. And that included sex, by the way, right? That's my relationship with sex, my relationship with body kind of have this very, very similar path. My relationship with sex at the time was very much the same. It was manipulative almost, and I was using it to fill that void, which I've talked about many times before. So that's 20s. And then more or less, we'll talk about 30s, which is when things shifted and I started to develop that love and respect. At some point in this 30s was when I read Gary Zukav's Seed of the Soul and started to really, and my entire spiritual journey was around this time. So that's when it shifted. And that's when I started doing more things for it and enjoying it. So sleep all of a sudden became really nice. It wasn't something I avoided, like, fuck, I don't want to sleep. I was like, girl, I'm going to sleep and I'm going to like it. And that's it. Like, I don't care where you're going. I don't care how good this party is. I'm going to sleep. And just making better choices in general, like choices about what I eat. I still went to the gym, but my relationship to the gym shifted as well. I also started doing, if I did more things for my body, purposefully, intentionally for my body, I also started doing less things against it, and felt good about making those choices. So again, not forcing myself to burn myself out with, like, you know, a week of partying nights if my body was saying no, listening to what my body needed, if it needed sleep or what have you. So I wasn't working against my body anymore. There was this alignment, this alignment that, like, we were a team. You know, here's the world that I want to live in. Here's the things I want to do. Hey, body, help me out and I'll help you out in return. That was kind of the approach. And now I'm 39 going on 40 in just a few months. So who knows what 40s looks like, right? I think it's going to change, right? We've all proven that it's not something that's static. And one thing I will say is I'm going to commit to continue to try to love and respect it, even though things aren't as tight and even though I'm not as flexible. And even though, you know, all the other stuff is happening, I think that's my journey now, is like, I still want to love this thing, even when it's not, you know, not what it used to be, which is inevitable. We all have to do that. So then let's share a little bit about what that might look like. So our body, our relationship with our bodies is going to continue to change. How can we improve that relationship? And we'll go over to Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to validate what you were saying, because I remember when I was in my 20s and even maybe even early 30s, there was this whole energy of like, oh yeah, I'm a trooper. Like, I made it through the whole week of my vacation and I drank every day. And it's like, you wear it like a badge of honor. Like, you're, but it's like, it's so crazy. And that I think about it, like how poorly I treated my body for so many years. And it's like, God, it's unbelievable. So
I've given that advice many times here. Someone will be saying that and I'm like, listen to your body.
Yeah.
I've said that 1,000 times this weekend.
Yeah. That's more trooper energy for me now, because it requires discernment, discipline, you know, loving your body. Like, that for me is like, yes, like I'm like really actually, you know, and that's what I value now is discipline, because I value feeling good and being comfortable, you know, after like a a binge of partying. Like, I just feel like complete crap mentally, physically, spiritually, right? So it's just a big deter for me. So, okay, so how can I improve my relationship with my body? Well, I'm a huge advocate for healing, right? So heal trauma. And I think people oftentimes think that trauma is this like big bad thing that, you know, has to happen to you. That's, you know, it can be interpersonal, it can be attachment trauma, it can be physical trauma, these sorts of things. Having chronic pain can be traumatic, right? So anything that leads to dissociation, which is leaving your body, going up and creating, you know, your relationship with yourself being governed mostly by your mind, that is one of the most detrimental things to embodiment, right? So healing trauma would be the foundation work for me. Like, if I was going to take someone on this journey in my practice, I would say we got to get you back online from dissociation. That's paramount, because otherwise it's going to be impossible for you to develop a relationship. Then once you're back online from, or I'll speak for myself, when I was back online from dissociation, I could start to listen to my body. And the body's much like, from my body's a lot different than my mind, in the sense that my mind is loud and it's very impulsive and aggressive, and I can hear it constantly. And my body's like whispers, and it's a lot more subtle. And so I needed to slow down to be able to listen to my body. So I always say when I'm coaching too, is like, slow down by 10%. That's usually like after session one with clients. Okay, slow down by 10%, slow down your chewing, slow down your walking, slow down everything. And just because you'll meet yourself differently just by slowing yourself down a little bit, right? And then I wrote down here, stop bullying it. And by that, I mean, stop always trying to change it, or stop trying to push it beyond its limits. Because, you know, I think we come from a culture, especially in the fitness world, that it's like, push your body harder and you'll be better and bigger and stronger and stuff. And there's truth to that. But it's with that mentality, without discernment and rest, is very harmful to the body. So again, everything is about balance. But to your point that you made in your monologue about shame and love, and what are you motivating yourself through, that is like, if you want to change your body, which there's nothing wrong with wanting to change your body, right? Because it's, we're all about self-improvement and personal development. But what is the intention and what is the motivation? I would ask myself that. For many years, it was shame. It was, something's wrong with me and it needs to be fixed, or I don't like who I am and I need to change myself. And I wasn't accepting myself and I wasn't loving myself. And now it's like, when I want to make change, which actually now I don't really want to make many changes. It's interesting, because now I'm more motivated by love. But there are still things that I want to change, but I have to be mindful of that. And the last thing here is, stop doing things just because you've been told that it's good, or that we should be doing these things in society. Like, you got to question everything, because you see some Instagram influencer saying, eat this or do this with your body and you'll look like this. That's not how it works. And I learned this when I was doing fitness and nutrition coaching, is everybody is different and everybody requires something different, right? So don't ever go to the gym and mimic somebody's exercises either, because that, what they're doing, you don't know what their goal is, what their intention is. So having a relationship with your body is so important, just by simply listening and saying, does my body want this? Right. And that part of it is a deconditioning, because I think I had to learn through many different forms. You know, you look at the things that influence what we put in our body in today's culture. It's the food industry, it's the pharmaceutical industry, it's these companies that basically create marketing campaigns and say, this is good for you and you should take it. And when we're constantly inundated by these messages, we lose our authority and our discernment and our sovereignty over what is good for our own body. So I just have a motto, and it's question everything, right? Regardless, and do your own research, right? Don't take what, you know, your government or what some big corporation tells you is good for you. Like, listen to your own body, because your body has an awareness and it has its own wisdom, and it'll let you know if something is good or not good for you. So yeah, I feel complete.
Nice. Those are some great tips.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Oh, all right. How can you improve your relationship with your body? Well, stick with it for one.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's so many times where I was just like, I can't do this anymore. But just sticking with it, of course, I'm like more of an extreme case. I like to think in micro improvements. So don't think of it as like big leaps and bounds or jumps. Just think of like a tiny thing that you can shift today. And I'm going to use like eating or eating habits or what you eat. It's like if you want to improve your relationship with your body in regard to food, make micro habit changes of like, don't change everything. Pick one thing and shift that one thing. And then once you get good at that, pick another thing and shift that one thing. So if maybe you don't eat enough greens, because we all know greens are good for you. They help your microbiome. They help build the good gut bacteria in your gut. You should be eating them, but a lot of people hate them. So it's like, okay, if that's something that you want to implement and you know it's going to be good for you, then it's like, what's one thing you could do? Maybe it's adding one green vegetable or something into your diet so that you slowly build up the like, you know what, this isn't so bad. Or finding things that have a lot of that. Like, I know that there's like gut greens that it's like fermented gut greens. And like, if you don't like greens, but you do take protein shakes and like you go to the gym a lot, maybe it's like adding that, like a scoop of that into your protein shake so that it's like a little incremental thing. It doesn't have to be these big grandiose like shifts and changes. It can be micro habit changes that it's just one little thing that you implement that in and of itself will help shift. Or things like drinking water, getting yourself a water bottle and tracking it throughout the day so that if there's a focal point on it of like, okay, I need to drink this water bottle by the end of the day. And at least that, you know, you're getting enough water. If you're one of these people who like doesn't drink water at all, and there's one little shift that you want to shift. It can be something as simple as that. And then like overall the mentality of improving your relationship to your body, I think everybody's just so different. But I like what Matt says, question everything. And I'll use an example of like when I was down, I went to Havana on a trip to Cuba, and it was before they'd opened up, before they really were allowed to, like America opened up and finances could go. So it was still, you know, a number of years ago, well over a decade ago. And it was so interesting when I was there because they don't have a lot of the mass marketing in the mass media, and it's created a very, very different environment there, especially sexually. And I met this local guy who he was straight, but like we hung out, and the way he just approached people and sexuality and everything. And as he did, he wasn't ripped. He wasn't like whatever. He looked good, but he wasn't like anything that you would quote unquote say was like spectacular in the media or whatever. But just the way that he interacted with people, and he was so sexual, and like what, like that taught me was that it wasn't necessarily it's not the outside. It's the energy that you bring, and it's the inside. And I know a number of people who I could say are quote unquote, not the stereotypical pretty people, but they always are either dating somebody that is like very attractive to them, or they just like find themselves in those situations. And you're just like, how do they do it? And it's because it's up here. It's not because it's the physical. It's because you bring in energy to the table that people are like, wow, I need to know this person. They're awesome. And so to improve your relationship with your body, you need to improve the relationship with yourself. Like the language you use to talk to yourself. I started my spiritual journey way back when I was like late teens, early 20s. And just the language shifts that I switched to make a point of like in the mirror, I tell myself I like myself. In the mirror, I tell myself I look good today. And it was like a little bit of fake it till you make it. But like writing things on your mirror to focus on, to be like, okay, tell myself this today, tell myself this today, or like, you look great. It changes the dialogue that you have going through your head. And I'm so grateful that I had a friend who helped me implement that when I was younger, because as I've gotten older, I've really leaned on a lot of that programming I did for myself. And so, you know, question everything and question why you think the way you think and why you're experiencing the things you're experiencing, because just because that's your experience currently doesn't mean it's everybody's experience, and it doesn't mean it has to continue to be your experience. And that's what that trip to Havana taught me. It's like, you can make your experience what you want it to be, because there's many different people living many different ways of life all around the world. And so picking and choosing what you want and making it happen is going to take time, but you can learn and you can do it in incremental ways and switch those little habits, switch those little things. And like, it's wild the magic that can happen once you start getting out of like, this is the way things are, into like, well, what's possible? And just getting curious about it and doing like some fun science experiments with yourself.
Very well said. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Attraction is definitely energetic, whether we know it or not. Right. Mm-hmm. I love that. Those are both, you guys both had some really good tips there. So I'll add a couple more. I have five here, but I think some of them have already been talked about. So maybe I'll just give a different spin on it. First thing I have is just check in with it. Talk to it. Like I said at the beginning, sometimes we talk, but we don't listen. Remembering that relationships are both talking and listening, communicating both ways. So listen to your body, I think, is maybe the one that people have a harder time with. Checking in with it. Some, for me, what helps is like a meditation, like one of those body scan meditations, where like you're literally bringing awareness to each part of your body. And then suddenly like, oh shit, like my back hurts. Where did that come from? Because like, if you're anything like me, they'll go through an entire day like on autopilot, not even realizing that, oh, hey, maybe I need to like sit down or see a chiropractor or whatnot. So checking in with it, asking it what it needs. Second thing I have is the self-talk. Especially in the mirror, as Callan was saying, like the self-talk is great, but there's something extra powerful about looking at yourself in the mirror as you do it. And as you're talking to yourself, looking at yourself right in the eyes, it still can make me cry. And I do this all the time. And with my clients, depending on what I'm coaching them on, one of the things I'll have them do is I'll have them go buy a full-length mirror. And I'll say, you're going to need a full-length mirror for our sessions, because I'm going to give you some homework that's going to require this of you. And they all have the same kind of experience of it, which is, you know, at first super awkward, weird. Why is he making me do this? This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And then fast forward, if they actually do it, there's a huge shift, similar to exactly what Callan was saying. It's a huge shift, and it's very powerful. And actually, if you feel resistance as I'm talking about this, especially you, go buy yourself a mirror. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're feeling the resistance, because you probably need it the most. The third thing that helped me shift my relationship with my body is how I saw food, and seeing it as fuel instead of seeing it as something that was purely for pleasure. Like, I ate what tasted good, period. Similar to the relationship I had with sex. I did it because it felt good, and that's about it. Food was the same way. Once I started seeing it as fuel, like, what am I putting into my body? Like, am I fueling it? You know, is it balanced? Is it not balanced? Not to say that I'm like the most healthy eater ever. I'm not, but I'm a lot more conscious. Like, if I'm going to eat something that's quote unquote not good for me, I'll know I'm doing it. And then I'll be like, okay, that's just, I'm going to take that over here and I'll make up for it with something else later. So yeah, my relationship with food kind of changed. And then my relationship with exercise, I'm going to actually call it movement in general, because exercise might not be the right thing for people, but movement, right? Whether stretching or yoga, like Callan was saying, or going for a run, whatever it is, I think moving your body is extremely important. It's meant to be moved. It's meant to move. And so my relationship with, for me, it's exercise, is working out or walking or biking. But it used to be, I did it for the aesthetic. I want to look like this. So therefore I need to notice the words, go to the gym. I need to lift my weights. I need to do this. Versus, I still go to the gym. I still love it. Versus, I'm doing it because, again, the movement, I want to for my joint health. But don't get me wrong, the aesthetic is a beautiful byproduct and I fucking love it. But it's the byproduct. It's not the reason. It's not I have to. It's not coming from shame. It's like, hey, I'm going to do this thing. And guess what? After like 6 months of doing it, you know, I'm going to have this end result, which is really nice. And it looks great. And yes, I love the validation that comes with it, but it's very, very different than before, which was like, I need to get the result so I could post the picture. So, you know, like it's for some kind of aesthetic. And again, I don't want to shame anyone who wants the aesthetic. I want it to, okay? Like, I just want to put that out there. And then finally, the last thing would be wearing clothes that I liked. I'm wearing clothes that fit me well. And that when I look in the mirror, I'm like, girl, you look good. I look good today. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, some people might think it's vain, but I don't think so. I think it's really good if you could look at yourself in the mirror and say, yeah, I look good. I'm going to walk out in this. It's going to give me some vibes. It's going to give me some energy. And when you walk into a room naturally feeling good in what you're wearing, that energy is just going to exude right off you. So, mm-hmm. You know, whereas before I would maybe hide under my clothes. This is when I was like, you know, in my teens, like I would hide and not want people to see my body. I didn't want people looking at it. Then it was the opposite. And I purposefully, you know, wore things that were like the most revealing only for the reaction. And I was like, listen, I'm going to wear this outfit and I look great in it. And yes, if you think I look great, that's great. But if not, that's okay too. So yeah, I would say wearing clothes that that make you feel good. Doesn't matter what they are. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what makes you feel good, but try some things on, whatever makes you feel good, wear that.
Mm-hmm. And get a good haircut. Haircuts yes. always. Oof.
I need always.
That. After a haircut, I'm always like, damn, yes.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
It's a good feeling.
Or a good shave, like a good, you know, just taking care of yourself, right? And in that way, that makes you feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any tips you want to add before I wrap this up?
Golden.
No. Actually, I'll say rest. Like, I just think that's so important. You know what I mean? Listen to when your body needs it and give it to it. Otherwise, it just compounds and it just leads to burnout, stress, all these things. So I'm learning how to nap. I often take naps now, which I never did ever in my whole adult life. It's just the last year, really, that I've been napping. So it's great.
In childhood, I used to hate going to sleep and hate napping. Now I'm like, give it to me. Give me all the naps and all the sleep. It's completely shifted.
Yeah.
So wild. I've always loved sleeping. I've always been that kid who was just like, I'm leaving to go to bed. Or the guy at the party who's like, wow. Hey, I'm going to bed. Like, I've never felt the FOMO of like, I need to stay. It's always been the like, I need to go to sleep.
That's how I am now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you, listeners and viewers, for tuning into today. If you like what you heard, please leave us a review and give us 5 stars. And again, check out the show notes to see how you could support the show and check out the coaching collection. And please join us on the last Thursday of the month for the GMB Zoom Hangout. I want to thank my beautiful co-hosts, Matt and Callan. Thank you for coming today and sharing your wisdom. And we'll see you guys next time.